This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to The Breakfast Grill. For many years, the highly competitive and saturated Malaysian mobile communications scene was dominated by the top three players, Maxis, Celcom and Digi. Enter U-Mobile, a small, nimble and data-centric player. Can U-Mobile give the big three a serious run for their money? And are they considered the main disruptive threat to the mobile industry? We welcome on The Breakfast Grill this morning, Wong Heng Tuck, the CEO of U-Mobile. Welcome to the show. Welcome.
Good morning.
All right. Well, shall we jump right in with the good news that you have been allocated a significant portion of the 900 megahertz and 1,800 megahertz spectra? So this is going to be, the 1,800 is going to be allocated in January next year.
That's correct.
900 in July next year.
Yes, that's correct.
What are you doing now to prepare for that spectrum allocation?
I think firstly, you know, we are very grateful, you know, to the regulators and the government for recognizing the hard work that we have done over the last few years in making a difference, you know, in the industry and promoting more, I would say, rolling out more innovative products. I think the fact that we have been given a fair share, almost a fair share of the spectrum, is a testament of the so-called hard work, you know, that we have done over the years. I think the new spectrum to be allocated to U-Mobile is a significant, I would say, milestone. What it meant is that, you know, just imagine, you know, what we have currently of the higher bands, and with that, you know, I think we have made tremendous progress in terms of improving customer experience. That is, you know, evidence, you know, with the awards that we have by independent third party, for example, like Ookla and Open Signal, that says that, you know, we are the fastest in Malaysia. We are providing the fastest speed to our consumers in Malaysia. With the lower band spectrum, I think, you know, we should be able to increase that lead much more. Especially with in-building coverage, which we understand, you know, we are a bit weak in some areas, and also in terms of coverage.
Okay.
I think those two would be able to improve, you know, the customer experience on our network even further.
Before we delve into coverage, what do you think led to the reallocation of the spectrum? What do you think triggered the need for this?
Well, I think what the regulators have seen is that, you know, basically there are four major players in Malaysia, and they believe that, you know, with the track record that U-Mobile had over the last few years, we should be able to provide more innovative services, you know, to the industry, or to promote the growth of the industry even much better. Spectrum to a telco is a strategic asset, mm-hmm. Okay, and in not an asset, but in terms of providing better customer service, customer experience. So I think, you know, that is why I think when the regulators or the government had a relook at the spectrum itself, they felt that, you know, it should be, they felt that, you know, in Malaysia there should be at least a four-player market, especially on the mobile side. And that's why, you know, when they reallocated those spectrum, it's almost equally distributed among the big four.
So how long will you have this deal for? Are you worried that the goalposts might change for you in the future?
I don't think we are concerned about that, especially when we are, I would say, giving value and also improving customer experience.
Okay, well, the spectrum allocation will allow U-Mobile to offer its services multi-band, right? That means one tower, one site can cover many more users. But it also means that a telco would need fewer towers or sites to cover a particular area. Am I getting that right?
Yes and no. I think in terms of the lower band, yes, coverage would be wider in terms of number of sites will be much lower. But I think, you know, when we go on to, you know, 4G and LTE-A, I think, you know, the number of sites would not decrease per se. Okay. Especially, you know, when we have a lot more customers on data, you do need to increase the number of cell sites.
Okay.
Okay.
So how will you be doing that?
I think we are aggressively rolling out. I think what we set out to do 2 years ago is to roll out 1,000 3G and 1,000 4G sites. I think what I'm happy to report is that by the end of last year, I think our LTE sites has I don't think we have matched the big three, but I think we are on the way in terms of going head-to-head with them in terms of number of sites. At the end of last year, I think we rolled out more than 1,006 LTE sites.
What does this mean for your capital expenditure?
I think we have said in 2014 that that we would invest about 1.5 billion up until end of 2015. I think we are on track with those numbers, both in terms of the capex and also in terms of number of sites being rolled out.
Will you think about increasing that? Because if you want to talk about aggressively chasing the big three, mm-hmm. is that a consideration?
No, that is, especially with the new spectrum being allocated. I think we are in the process of replanning our whole network. What we have said before is that we would invest about 4 billion over the next maybe 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think, in terms of the number may not change, but in terms of the timing, of the investment would change. You'd be very much front-loaded in that sense.
Because can you afford to be front-loaded? I mean, if you're thinking about accelerating that time mm-hmm. frame.
Well, I think in the telco business, you invest first before you get the subscribers on board. That is the hygiene factor. It's not like a manufacturing line where you put in a line, then automatically your revenue increase. I think the key thing for us is, we need to improve the hygiene factor, which is the network coverage and also the network experience. So, and I think, what we have is, we have strong shareholders behind us. And so far, they have been extremely committed.
Okay.
In terms of the investment, I do not see any big issue with that.
Okay, so let's talk about how you intend to increase that subscriber base. So let's say you've done what you need to do in front-loading your investment. Now you want to get the subscribers. At the moment, you've got about 10% market share.
Just like slightly less than 10.
Slightly less than 10. In terms of giving the big three a run for their money, a chase of their subscribers, how will you intend to do that?
No, I think the first thing is the network quality and also the customer. What I would say is total customer experience, both all the way from the network, down to the products that we have rolled out.
Okay, so talk to me about how you intend to ensure that the customer experience is of the utmost quality.
I think the best is, is to have independent third party to come in and do some tests, which they do constantly in that sense.
So are you saying that you currently have the quality of customer experience, however the perception is not there, so you want independent verification?
No, I think there was still a lot of old perception that persists. That U-Mobile is not a full network service provider. I think, with the amount of investment that we are putting in, we are certainly a full network service provider. And we do not have the historical baggage with us in terms of legacy systems. What we are rolling out are the state-of-the-art equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And that do give us a little bit of edge in terms of the total customer experience when they're on our network. I think we have shown that, especially in areas that we have rolled out our network. I think now is with the new spectrum in place, we should be able to cover the other areas that we have not covered so far.
And your subscriber base, what kind of demographics are you? I understand you're targeting a younger demographic, but is that a quality demographic?
No, I think those are quality. These are more, I would say, discerning customers. And these are of the younger generation where...
They're more discerning.
They're more discerning and they're willing to change. Okay? They're willing to change and they're willing to try out new mobile operators. Especially when the mobile operator is giving them value and also the customer experience that they need.
And the catalyst for that change would likely be price for a younger demographic.
Well, I think for a young entrant to the market, price is one thing. But I think it's not just price alone. But you've got to look at how innovative and that particular telco is in terms of bundling their products and services and layering on top, whatever so-called services that are targeted or that particular segment really needs per se. I think for U-Mobile, over the last few years, we have rolled out quite innovative services. For example, we roll out microfinancing, to help the younger generation or the younger subscribers to own an iPhone. Then we also roll out data backpack, for those more mobile younger generation customers, for them to travel around the region. I think those are the things that we are looking at in terms of implementing in the future as well.
But you mentioned a little earlier, this demographic is the one that can easily change. What is there to keep them from changing to your competitors? How will you ensure that this demographic stays loyal to your brand?
No, I think the key thing is for us is to keep on improving ourselves, to challenge the market, and also to come up with more innovative services. Price alone is not going to make a customer subscribe to you, but I think it's a total experience with a particular telco.
Okay, let's talk about your postpaid to prepaid ratio. Are you happy with that ratio at the moment?
I think our ratio is pretty strong. I think the postpaid prepaid mindset is. I think has got to change. I think
what is the mindset currently?
Mindset is that postpaid are for premium customers, prepaid are for those are less credit worthy customers in that sense. But I think how we see that is it's just, for example, it's just like the credit card. Previously, if you have a gold credit card, you're from the so-called the elite
upper class,
mm-hmm. But nowadays everybody got a credit card, right? So to us, postpaid and prepaid is just a paying mechanism. Whether you are, you like to control your spending on a monthly basis, or you like to pay, after the month is over.
So for U-Mobile, does that mean that you're looking at postpaid and prepaid rates narrowing that margin?
No, we have already, standardized our rates, since a year ago. That's how, when we look at the total market. The total market has changed. Postpaid, prepaid is just a payment, paying mechanism. It should not differentiate a customer's whether they are, from the upper class or from the lower class, in that sense.
So when you say the mindset should change, you're talking about the mindset of the incumbent telcos.
No, I think also the mindset of the people, in that sense, shouldn't be looking at whether you're a postpaid subscriber or a prepaid subscriber. Mm-hmm. I think what we have done is, previously telco do differentiate in the sense that the postpaid, because you are on credit, all those things, your rates is lower. When you're prepaid, your rates are on higher rates, what we have done is over the last year is we have standardized everything.
Okay. Well, the past 4 years, you've grown exponentially. We're talking about 4 million active customers, and that's been an increase of 3.5 million in the past 4 years.
No, I think the subscribers in terms of may be around the same, I think, over the last 1-2 years. But I think in terms of the composition of those subscribers have changed. I think a better measurement is, the fact that we have been growing our revenue every year. I think that's the so-called evidence that in terms of the quality of subs that we have, quality means people that are staying with us longer, people are spending more with us, are getting more and more.
Okay, so that's what you mean by the change in
yes.
composition of subs.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, do you think you can keep growing at this rate?
Well, I do not see why not.
I mean, it's only natural that a growth rate would moderate over time, but you don't think you're there yet.
No, I don't think we are there. I think, if you look at the penetration for Malaysia, it's coming close to 150%. But I think you look at other countries in the region, for example, in Singapore, in Hong Kong, they're close to 200%. So I think, in terms of growth, I think, there is still room for us to grow.
And how will you be doing that, apart from being innovative? As a challenger to the big three, this intense competition between the telcos recently has resulted in what many analysts are calling a price war. Would you agree with that?
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think it really is.
You don't agree with that, even though that you are one of the cheapest players in the market.
No, I think you can't look at the price, but I think you should look at the total bundle the bundle in totality. In that sense, what value are we giving? It's not like price per se. For example, look at our backpack that we are giving back to our subscribers in the sense that, you're able to bring your quota overseas. Okay. I think those are what you call, you got to look at the total bundle in totality rather than just the price itself. Okay, are we giving value to our customers?
Okay. How often do you relook your composition of value if you are offering the best value to your customers?
I think we are constantly innovating.
So you constantly look at your
product. Yes, we constantly look at our product. Okay. Constantly look at our customer segments. You know, in terms of customers. You know, do they are there new services that's coming on board that would be of interest to them that we think should be more relevant to our market segments in that sense. And this way, we roll out new product and services.
But is your stand on price one that is the cheaper the better?
I don't think it's cheaper the better. I think it's the end-to-end total suite of services that we are giving to our customers. For example, like customer experience in terms of the network coverage, quality, speed, one should look at that in totality together with the price and together with whatever so-called services we are layering on top.
Well, you're definitely a huge disruptor in the well-established telco market. Do you get the sense that the other telcos are unhappy with you?
No, I think the competition is here to stay. If it's not U-Mobile, maybe it's some other players that comes in. I think the key thing for us is we should not be complacent. We are constantly innovating. We are constantly looking at the needs of our subscribers. Okay. At the same time, we need to improve our backroom even much faster, especially our network coverage, all those things. So I think, I don't think it's a matter of whether they hate us or they dislike us or anything. But I think ultimately, at the end of the day, are we making a difference in the industry? Are we giving a choice to the subscribers or the consumer? For example, there are a lot of high ARPU customers that are still staying with the incumbents. There's no way we can switch them over. I think, different generation, we have different needs in that sense. Different market segment have different needs. The younger generation would like to be more data savvy. They are more data savvy. That's why, they are more towards, I would say, customer experience in terms of the speed, in terms of the availability of network and all those things. And they are constantly on Facebook, either Facebook, WhatsApp, and every time they post a picture, they expected that to be uploaded instantly, all those things matters to the younger generation. But for the older generation, they are more towards traditional voice and SMSs in that sense.
Okay, so and they want to ensure they've got coverage wherever they go, right?
I think, for us, we are a nationwide, we have covered nationwide already. Okay, in terms of whether it's SMS, voice calls, I think for the whole of Malaysia, wherever you are, you should be able to make a call, even on your mobile network per se. But we are not, we are not known for that because we are more data centric.
Okay.
Okay, and our subscribers are of a much younger nature in that sense.
Well, we talked about competition from you providing competition to the incumbents, to the big three. What happens when there's a new entrant to the market? I'm sure you've got your on your radar. You're always watching for new entrants to the market. How are you anticipating the P1 and Telkom Malaysia Weebe entrant?
No, I think we welcome new competitors to the industry because that will provide more services. That will promote even greater innovativeness in the industry, and I think as a result of that, I think the consumer would have more choices per se. I think we welcome that, and for us is we recognize that we are still quite small, and that's the reason why we are we need to be very nimble, very flexible, and be quick in terms of how we want to roll out our product and services. I think that is the key differentiator.
Okay, so spectrum allocation coming at the start of next year. What else do you have planned for the next 3, 5, 7 years?
I think, the key thing is, when the spectrum is available from 1st January for the 1800 and from 1st July for the 900, what we do expect is that, our customer experience, will improve tremendously, okay, over those two time frame. I think we are at this stage, planning as to how we can roll out or how we can change, or how we can utilize the new spectrum In order to provide better quality of service to our customers.
Okay. Well, you mentioned earlier that you're fully covered throughout Malaysia, right?
Fully covered, yes. You know, I think, you know, we do have a unique arrangement with Maxis.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It but is unique. Is it a harmonious relationship?
It is a harmonious.
Even though their last results showed that they had lost a portion of their subscribers.
But
could that have gone to you?
Well, to I think subscribers is one thing, but, you know, we are also giving them back quite a bit of revenue and EBITDA. Okay. I think we know. They got to look at it in totality. But I think, you know, for us is, you know, over time, what we do is, you know, we would roll out our own network.
Okay.
Okay. I think that this unique arrangement with Maxis do give us time, you know, for us to roll out network. I think, you know, and with the new spectrum, we would accelerate that.
Do you have a time frame for that plan?
I think, you know, we should have our own network in place nationwide, maybe in the next 3-4 years.
And you said that
at most.
You said your shareholders are supportive of
yes,
this.
Yes, that's
okay.
Right.
Yeah. So the Sultan of Johor owns 15% stake in U-Mobile, as well as the 49% stake owned by the Singapore Telemedia.
Yes.
Are you looking at a strategy here, a Singapore-Johor strategy? Is there something happening there?
Well, we have a sister company in Singapore called StarHub as well. So we do look at, you know, how we can roll out combined services together. Because, you know, Johor and Singapore, they are quite close to each other. And there are a lot of commuters, you know, between the two countries. So we do look at, you know, how we can leverage off that synergy, you know, together with our shareholders.
I've been speaking to Wong Heng Tak, the CEO of U-Mobile, Malaysia's fourth largest mobile operator. It's been a pleasure speaking with you. Thanks for coming on The Breakfast Grill.
Thank you very much.
I'm Melissa Idris for BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.